flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Good morning, 97.1. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov, and Greg behind the glass on a Wednesday.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody this morning?
Good.
Good morning.
Good morning. Wednesday?
It's Wednesday. It feels like Wednesday.
It's kind of a blah,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
It doesn't have to be blah. It's a hump day. We're running downhill after this. Come on.
This is the guy who's got a short work week.
Yes, yeah, exactly. I won't be in on Friday. Yeah.
This is your Thursday.
I say it every Wednesday, I feel like. It's you get to this point, and that's why it's called hump day. You're getting over the hump. At least that's why, you know, most times it's called hump day. But you're running downhill after this to the weekend. And now there's no football this weekend, so.
Yeah, I know. What are we really running towards?
Exactly. So running to nowhere.
We'll get there together. 6:35 Lions free agents. Should they stay or should they go? We've got 12 names. We'll play that game together. 6:50 Pistons trade deadline. Which direction should they go? They're kind of in that spot where they could go either way. They play tonight against the Pacers.
So interesting. But before the season, and we'll get into it, but before the season, it was definitely, okay, you're signing these guys to trade. This is trade bait at the trade deadline. And now, you might be buying.
And Malik Beasley with some interesting quotes. We'll get to it 6:50. John, some interesting sights in your neighborhood. Tell people about it.
There have been. And so, was it Sunday night or Monday night? I can't remember when I sent you guys this. But we had, obviously, new house, and I always, whenever we're looking for a house, because of experiences I've had before in regards to the first house we lived in Plymouth, there was a bridge that went across, a walking bridge that went across the road, and people could walk across it. I could see right into our backyard. So very interested into, okay, what are the sight lines? You know, can you see the backyard? Can you see into any of the windows of our house? You know, we got a little bit more space in between the houses. And so you're always looking to see what, you know, what the surrounding area is. And the other night, my wife was on the way home and she goes, hey, do you see the light that is hovering above our neighborhood? And she goes, I think it's a drone. And I'm like, I was inside giving Teddy a bath and, you know, wrestling with the other kids and trying to figure, you know, how to get everybody in bed. And so I look out the window and yeah, there I have, obviously, as I mentioned, looked at the sight lines. There was no tower there, no cell tower, no nothing. And parked above our neighborhood was a light. Now, okay, I'm looking at it going, is it just a plane that's way far off? And you look at planes in the sky and you know they're going hundreds of miles an hour. They look like they're going nowhere. Mm-hmm. This one was parked there for over 2 hours. And you couldn't hear it like you would hear a helicopter or a plane that would be flying over. And obviously it wasn't moving. So the only thing it could have been was...
aliens?
It could have been a UFO.
Were you visited, John?
I was not visited. At least not that I'm aware of. I mean, they may have just erased my memory. Mm. But it had to be a drone. It was something that was levitating with a light above our neighborhood.
Did you feel uneasy about it? What'd you do about it?
Well, I called... my buddy, who's a police officer, and I asked him, I'm like, hey, is this something I should, you know, call the cops about? And he's like, well, let me investigate. And, you know, he called the, you know, the Canton police and to see if they were using one of their drones to either search for someone or maybe they were doing an exercise. And, you know, hey, reports came back, nothing in the area from any of the surrounding townships. So it had to be somebody's personal drone. And it just seemed really weird that it was hovering. First of all, and his question was like, how long has it been there? Mm-hmm. It seemed like a legitimate question. And I was like, well, at that time it was, you know, 90 minutes. And he thought the same thing I did. Like it the drone batteries have a limitation. And I never saw it. Like I wasn't watching it the entire time. I did go out and take a video. I could show you guys. And it never, went down and then back up. It just was constantly, every time I saw it was in the same spot in the sky. And so I was just curious.
It's got to be a UFO. Not a drone, John. It's aliens.
Technically, by definition, it was UFO. Unidentified flying object. But I'm curious, have you guys ever had a drone incident? And I don't necessarily want to call this an incident, but because it was at night, and I don't know how much they see or they have night vision. I know that the sophistication of the drones is amazing, and I love drone footage. Trust me, I love drone footage. I just don't want one parked over my house, and I just thought it was extremely odd that it was there, and it was there for nearly 2.5 hours.
I guess my drone experience happened last September. I was at that Green Day concert.
Oh, yeah.
And they sprinted off the stage. Nobody knew what was going on. Today's day and age, you think the worst. Yeah. You're like, where are the exits? They run off the stage. We're like, is the concert over? Is it canceled? Why is this happening? And then rumors spread in the crowd. It's a drone. It's a drone.
Right.
And there's like a green light. And it's just kind of circling Comerica Park where the concert was. And you're going, all right, what? You know what is... flying this thing around.
Yeah.
And eventually it got it out of the air and it came back out on stage. But it's an uneasy feeling. Why is this here? Who's doing this?
Right. Because it was hovering. And I've had other drone experiences where I've been at a park, like Ellie had softball practice, and then all of a sudden you hear this buzz, right? And it's like, you hear the meow, meow, and it's going off place. And I found the guy that was operating it. It was amazing to me. He said, I am a drone racer.
Okay.
Okay.
And we can make anything a competition here in America. So and it was so wild to me that this thing was going so fast, and he obviously was zooming in around the trees. And it was mainly open, right? There's a couple of baseball fields, trees on the sidelines, but he was literally going in circles and doing all this stuff. And he goes, yeah, I do two things. I do stunts with the drone and I race it. It was very interesting. So I got the chance to talk to him for a while.
Is there a whole circuit? Like, how does one get into drone racing? Yeah, Wednesdays I'm in my drone league.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, and he said, the fun part is because they have limitations in terms of weather, like what they can actually have races and stuff in. And I said, it's kind of like baseball, right? You can't have you got a rain delay or wind delay. And he goes, yeah, wind is always the biggest thing, which makes sense. But I'm just curious, anybody else? Like, have you ever had an encounter? Whether it's been a good encounter or a concerning encounter with drones. Because they've been in the news, obviously, in the last 6 months or so.
Yeah.
More on the East Coast than
New Jersey,
here.
Yeah.
And this was not the size of a minivan or... like. And I couldn't actually... like, I could tell it was a drone, but I couldn't see the size of it. It's hard to estimate the size of flying objects.
Heather?
I've had no experience with drones except our own drone.
Yeah.
I mean, that we've used just to capture footage up north and of waterfalls and things like that. No.
But you're not using it to spy on your neighbors?
Oh, once
except
in a while.
Except the neighbor next to you that that doesn't like you guys on their beach?
We've used it up north. But no, we've never used it to spy. We've used it in our neighborhood, though. Yeah. Like, more for practice, because it's hard to fly.
What are the rules? So, like, what are you allowed to do?
Is it, like, registered with the FAA?
I don't know if it's a big enough one to... I don't know.
Flying object, so I think there is a certain rules to it.
But I wonder where the cutoff is. Like, if you bought your kid one of those little toy helicopters, you don't have to register. So, like, how high up does the drone have to go? How big does it have to be?
Yeah.
I don't know all those things.
Well, so here's the other one. When I do the commercials or live reads for Rapid Roofing, they'll send up a drone,
Business
but it's
purpose.
Literally right above your house, and they're taking a look at all of the, you know, any issues with your roof.
Look at the chimney.
Yeah, and they show you the cool footage of it, or selling the house, right? Realtors will send drones up, and they'll do that, but it's all, like, regulated.
Sure.
This was... I can't imagine it was a realtor because it was literally, I mean, it gets dark at 5 o'clock now?
Yeah.
And it was around 7:30 at night is when we first noticed
it. It's dark out, yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, what type of footage are you taking at that time?
Ominous.
It's very ominous, yes.
We have some calls to get to. 248-539-9797, your drone experiences. John has one, wants to know yours. We'll get to Stay or Go, Lions Free Agent Edition at 635. It's 97.1.
Super Bowl 59, it's one game, two teams, and endless possibilities. And there's no better place to make every play more exciting than with FanDuel Sportsbook. Whether you're predicting the first touchdown, who's going to take home the MVP trophy, or who's going to win the coin toss, FanDuel makes it easy to place your bets and feel the thrill of every single moment. With live betting all game long, you can jump into the action, adjust your bets, and ride the wave of excitement from kickoff to the final whistle. Plus, to make the Super Bowl even sweeter, new customers can score $200 when you make your first bet. Just place a $5 bet, and if you win, you're going to get $200 in bonus bets. All you have to do is download the app or head to FanDuel.com/971Detroit and bet with FanDuel. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit. FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the Super Bowl 59. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
People got stories. We'll get to them. Drone spotted in John's new neighborhood. Just sitting there for hours.
Yeah.
Spying on you.
Well, that's what I'm just curious as to why it was there. And it wasn't directly above our house, but it was above our neighborhood.
Da, da, da.
Just parked there.
Jeff and Novi, good morning. You're on 97.1.
What's up, guys? How are you?
Good.
Good.
Good. So I got a crazy story. And so at the end of this story, I was thinking, I drive every day from Novi to Detroit to work, and I'm thinking I was going to hear about this story from Heather in the news.
Oh.
So day back to the end of 2023, my wife and I bought a home in Highland Township for the sole purpose of doing a short-term rental. We furnish it. We put a lot of money into it. And fast forward, we start, renting it out. And we get a cease and desist sticker on the front door because in 2024, a new ordinance was passed saying that there was no short-term rentals in Highland Township on this lake that we bought on, and we were devastated. We put a lot of money into it, whatever. So get with my realtor. So we gotta list the house. We gotta sell it. I mean, right, we're not gonna take a bath on these mortgage payments every month. So we go that route. We don't need pictures of the inside because we have it listed on one of the short term rental websites. So he's like, oh, we'll just send out a guy to do aerials outside. I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. I get a phone call from his assistant. She goes, hey Jeff, we got the guy outside doing the aerials. And I'm like, I know, I see him on the ring footage. And he goes, she goes, well, we got a problem. I go, what do you mean? She goes, your neighbor came outside and shot his drone down with a shotgun from his balcony.
Oh my goodness.
And I go, you obviously the choice words. I go, you got to be kidding me. She goes, yeah, the Highland Township sheriffs are at the house. I go, I'm 20 minutes away. I'm coming on over. I have my mother at the house, my 4-year-old son. Like, we gotta go. Like, what the heck? So we get on over there. Sure as you know what, neighbor shoots down the drone that was above my house. It actually landed in the fire pit. And oh, wow. They don't obviously want me to talk to this guy, right? And I made sure that he was in earshot because there's a little bit more to the story. This guy, we found out, ratted us out for renting the house out. I didn't know the ordinance. Mm. He ran us out to the township. And I said it in earshot just to make sure he heard me. Like, he won. We're selling. Like, we're out. Like, we're not renting it. We're selling. And he did that. So that happened.
What did the police do? Because obviously you can't discharge a firearm like that. I mean, what were their ramifications for him?
No. So I tried to dig in a little bit more. I've got some friends that are like deputies in the area, and they couldn't dig into actually what, you know, what happened after the fact. But he got charged with two misdemeanors and a felony. Ooh. So
wow,
shooting a firearm within so many feet of your house in Highlands, a misdemeanor. There was one other. Oh, destruction of personal property over $1,000. Sure. But then the felony was shooting an aircraft out of the sky.
Wow.
Because it's...
And
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
No kidding. Guy, Jeff,
one
that's,
of my best friend's the realtor, and he's like, he's one of the team leaders at a real estate group. He's like, I've done 60,000 listings, and this is the craziest thing that has ever happened, and probably ever will.
I got to admit, yeah. Wow. I mean, it's kind of a great shot.
That's your takeaway.
Well, I mean, it's if it's stationary, it's not. But you know, it's moving around. Yeah.
And landed right in the fire pit.
All right. Right. How about what are the odds? We got more stories. Jeez. John, you're next up on a sell. You're on 97.1.
Hey guys, about 5 or 6 years ago, I was a elementary principal in the area, and it was about 1 or 2 minutes right before dismissal. And I was told I immediately had to get out in front of the building outside the front doors. And by the time I had got out there, it was dismissal. And about 30 or 40 feet right above the front door of the building was a drone. So now you got a couple of hundred kids, elementary kids, walking out the front of the building.
Right.
This drone is right there. The parents are going nuts. Of course, the kids are starting to grab stuff out of their backpacks and trying to throw stuff at it and doing all this and that. And we finally get all the kids out of the building. The thing ends up disappearing. I immediately walk in. I call the superintendent and said, what in the world is this? What do we do? I don't have any idea. She says, I don't know. We got to call the police. I call the police. The police come. We all kind of look at each other and none of us knew what to do. We didn't know if there was a law that was broken or what. Nobody had any idea of what to do or what to say or anything, and we just kind of went with, it's just kind of creepy. Like, we didn't know if it broke the law or didn't break the law, but it's definitely the creep factor. And we had a meeting about it with the, like, again, we had follow-up meetings, and nothing came of it because there was no really laws that were broken.
Well, at the time, yeah. I mean, like, all the laws are trying to catch up to it.
If, Right. And I mean, I don't, what do you do? Like, we didn't, we had no idea of what was, what to do. So
yeah,
just kind of went away and we moved on with our, with our day, with our school.
Well, and kind of the same situation that I was in. So that's creepy because you don't know, is there some wacko that's scouting out,
right?
Like the way the kids, yep, exit the school and the process and all that stuff. And like, it was for me, like, dude, I didn't know if there was, like, are there laws against having a drone like that at a certain height hovering over a neighborhood? Like, it seems like to me that would, that's,
there would be
there, yeah, that there would be,
especially in John's
invasion
case,
of privacy
with kids, children, school zones. You would, yeah, think there, and again, you got to keep up with this, yeah, stuff, catch up to
John
this
the
stuff.
Caller.
Yes, John the caller.
Yes.
A couple quick ticket texts. This one says, drone racing is very impressive. I've watched the races.
Oh, okay.
Someone brought that up earlier. This one says, the local authorities were just investigating someone new to the area that has 38 propane tanks. Yes. Make sure it's on the, yes, up and up. Yes. John, that was just me practicing in the park for the Michigan State and Ohio State games, signed Connor S. We're talking about him and the latest with Michigan. I know there's a latest and everybody's kind of nauseated by it, but there is a latest with Michigan fighting, sure, the NCAA. We'll get to that in the 7 o'clock hour. Let's get to Heather's news.
Okay, so there is a Detroit woman that is suing Lyft after she says her driver denied her a ride due to her weight. So according to the woman and a video that she actually posted on social media, she paid Lyft for a ride. She was going from her house to her cousin's house. About 10, 15 minutes later, driver shows up. He's got this Mercedes sedan. She walks towards the vehicle, and then the Lyft driver locked the doors. So she couldn't get in and starts to drive away. She was able to ask this guy, hey, dude, where are you going? Like, give me a ride. And the driver told her that she was too big to get into his car, claimed that she wouldn't fit, said that his tires could not support her weight. And said, hey, I've dealt with this before, and says overweight people need to order Lyft XLs. And now she's suing.
I'm a little speechless. I mean, how big is she to... Because I don't believe this, right? Like, you could put two or three passengers in that car and be fine, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you can, like, talking about... We talked about safes yesterday.
Right.
Okay. Like, we have a very large safe at our house as well that is very, very, very heavy. Guess what? It still fits in the car. Like, it
The safe?
Yeah. Like, yes. I mean, the safe fits and it's... Is it, yeah, because I think she would fit in the car? I think he's just saying that she's too heavy for the tires.
My point
Come
is,
on
if,
now.
If two or three people were in the car, the tires would be fine, right? So,
yes,
one bigger, even if she is a bigger person, I can't imagine the tires are going to give out.
Well, I mean, I've had it before a couple of years ago where I'm standing there with some of my buddies and the Uber shows up and he's like, oh, hell no.
Because of you?
Well, because me and
big
some
friends.
Of my, yeah, yeah. And I mean, I'm okay.
You could sue John.
Yeah, well.
It's discrimination.
Is it discrimination though? Is weight a protected class?
I mean, I think it's discrimination.
Well, I know, like, you can't.
I mean, if
for, like,
she
race
literally
or religion
couldn't fit,
or,
sure, yeah, then he can't give her a ride.
Yeah, I mean, as an Uber or Lyft driver, you can decline rides, kind of at will.
But before,
right,
you take the money.
Well, I think she get refunded, right?
Yeah.
I never use Lyft. Yeah. I never use rideshare, so I don't really know,
oh, really,
how it works. Mm. I mean, I have, not, yeah, here. I mean, I've used them in other cities, but,
yeah,
I haven't been to another city in a very long time.
Long time. Yeah, yes. Long kids time. Will do that to you.
Yeah, I know. Lafayette Coney Island is firing back at American Coney Island. In a late Monday night social media post, Lafayette said that we wanted to put on the record that we have been diligent at taking care of things, and we have our amazing Orkin team who inspects and services our place weekly. They also posted, like, a pest control report from Orkin that said, no evidence found of any infestation. That was from January 22nd. So, I mean, they're trying to prove that, hey,
yeah,
we are taking care of our place. We do have it checked regularly. And they said, hey, if they would have found something, we would have proceeded properly.
Yeah.
They said, you know what? Yes, Detroit does have a rat problem. And they said the city needs to be helping businesses to keep the rats out of,
yeah,
places as well. And then also took a shot right back at American Coney Island. Never said the owner's name after she had that big press conference at,
right,
her place, but definitely made it known that they were talking about her. Said, you know what? Our go-to is never bashing or putting down other businesses. They're not that desperate. So just made it known. We saw you. What?
And the very end, the very last two lines.
Oh, yeah.
But can anyone, who can say the rats aren't coming from them to our side? Mm-hmm. We might need to interview one of the rats just to make sure.
Yep.
Clearly some barbs going back and forth.
Exactly.
Sure. Yes.
A pair of Saturday Night Live's most famous alums are headed right here to Detroit. Tina Fey and Amy Poehler are bringing their comedy tour, Restless Leg Tour, to the Fox Theater on April 4th. Tickets go on sale 10 a.m. on Friday. Ticketmaster, if you want to get some. It says fans will see them celebrate 31 years of friendships through an evening of jokes and conversation. So should be a good time. I can only imagine. I like the two of them. I've got a great, it's not a great story, but I do have a great story I'm going to share with you next.
Oh, okay.
A great story that's not a great story. It is a great story, but it's a
noteworthy story.
Yes, that's okay. Better. That's a better word.
I got your back. Let's get to Stay or Go, Lions Free Agent Edition next, 97.1. You can listen to the show on the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app and listen to 97.1 The Ticket for a chance at the ultimate trip to Vegas. Happy Wednesday. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass. We are officially into the Lions offseason. And before we get to players they may draft down the line or free agents they may target, it starts in-house. How about a little Stay or Go free agent edition? Tom's got names.
All right, I think the first one's the biggie. Carlton Davis.
Should he stay or should he go? I say stay. Now, it's going to depend. Does he want like a 3 or a 4 year deal? That's where it gets dicey, but he's everything they could have wanted and more.
Mm-hmm.
Man coverage, veteran, and he played very well. He's a Super Bowl champion. To me, that's a stay.
I think it's a stay as well. And, you know, part of it, if you're going to bring back or promote somebody within as defensive coordinator, why are you doing that? It's consistency. It's terminology. You have a guy that has played in this system that Kelvin Shepard is familiar with, knows his skill set. Why bring in somebody else to do a similar job? Now, if you're going to try and majorly upgrade, you're going to have to go out and spend a whole bunch of money. And it will come down, and a lot of these guys kind of come down to, what are you willing to spend and what's the term going to be? But I think for Carlton Davis, he proved his value. And I think this is a guy that you definitely want to bring back.
You want someone you trust if you're going to play man. You got to put him on an island and he'll come up in the run game. He's a perfect fit.
Yeah.
No more than 2 years, though. No way. No way.
I might go 3.
I think you start
3 if it's really only 2, though. I mean, you can get kind of fuzzy with it. Yeah.
All right. Levi Onwuzurike.
This is a hard no for me. And I know that there was a lot of discussion coming out of training camp. Oh, he's healthy, and look at what he could do. He could play all 4 spots. He was still limited in what he was able to do. I didn't like him coming out. 1 year out of the 4 he's been able to play. Hey, and he may have played well enough for somebody to pay him, just not the line. It's a very Jonah Jackson-esque, I think, player.
I think Jonah Jackson did more than he did.
Yeah,
there's no question he did more, but you didn't want to sign him for $20 million a year.
Yeah. To me, this is go. And I feel like we had smoke blown up our, you know what. Like, yeah. He just never delivered.
It flashed for like 1 game, I think. But with him, that's a Brad Holmes admission, by the way. Highest pick, he will not resign. All right, next one. Kevin Zeitler.
Stay. He was super productive last year. The offensive line's the engine. And I want to have depth. Maybe Mahogany displaces Glasgow when Glasgow becomes a flex player who can play center or guard. But I like depth. I like productive players. I'd keep Zeitler.
It's going to come down to money, and it's going to come down to amount of years. Now, he was on a 1-year deal. Was it a 1-year prove-it deal? If you prove it, we're going to give you a 2-year deal. I don't know that I want to go 2 years because he did miss time. So this one is a...
You could say go and replace him.
I think it's if you can get him at the right price and the right length, then yes. But I'm fine with Mahogany stepping in there and addressing backups in a different way.
All right, I think this one's interesting. A little bit of an unsung one with fans. Tim Patrick.
I said go. He was productive, but I don't think he's someone that's bolted down here. I think that's a spot you could actually upgrade too, depending on how the offseason goes.
I agree. I think that we've seen that position, that receiver position, you want to call it 3, 4, whatever you want to call it, is kind of interchangeable. You get a guy that you can rely upon for 1 year and it works, it helps, but he's had injury issues.
This one's very interesting to me. I think the toughest one on the list, actually. Derek Barnes.
Stay.
I agree. I think he provides great depth. He provides great flexibility. He can play a number of different linebacker positions.
Special teams, too.
Yep. I think he's a guy that is valuable to this team. And I also think he's a guy that has proven his worth, but is not going to – he's not going to command a big contract.
Not going to break the bank.
No.
All right, the next one, Ife Melifonwu.
No. I think this one's easy. And I know that, you know, coming in at the end of the last couple of years, he's been a nice addition and it's been fun. But if you can't stay on the field, we can't be counted on for 15 of the 17 games, certainly not 17 games, then no.
I had him as a stay, but these are fringe guys, right? I think he has a role, third safety. It's just a shame he wasn't healthy at the large portion of this season.
Is that the first one you guys disagreed on?
Yeah, I think so.
No, Zeitler. I was fine with him.
Okay. Marcus Davenport.
Go.
Go.
Because on the list, sorry.
Yeah, and I mean, if you could ever get the most out of him, then yeah, and it was a good gamble, but he's a China doll. He just gets hurt.
And that's a spot I want him to upgrade, by the way, too. Yeah. I wouldn't just feel comfortable rolling it back with him.
I said that unsung fan favorite kind of Tim Patrick this year a little bit, but this is the true fan favorite, Dan Skipper.
To me, this one is a stay, and I don't care about the whole fan favorite. This is a guy that when he came in, the first time he came in to play left tackle when Decker was down, I thought, oh, no, and it was not good. But the next time, he was serviceable. I think he's a swing tackle that can be a backup on either side. We've seen what he can do as an extra offensive lineman. I think he provides really good value.
He is an amazing locker room guy. His story is the stuff we all love. I want to see them upgrade the third tackle spot. I don't know how long Decker is going to be as productive as he's been. I'd like to invest in a swing tackle, so I would let Skipper go.
All right, next one. Khalil Dorsey.
Go.
Yeah, this is a guy that he can come in and play a very limited role. And the term I have down here and for the next guy is upgradable. Could certainly upgrade him, and it's not going to cost you a lot.
Yeah, and this next one, there's an acronym now, ABV, and it's anybody but Vildor. I think that's what fans want. I think that's what we want. Just, you know what? You've got to have a depth guy. So Kendall Vildor, do you want him back?
Again, upgradable. I'm jumping ahead in the line here, but I mentioned both guys. Upgradable. I think he gets a bad rap for the ball going off his face mask in the NFC Championship game. He did play at times as a serviceable corner or nickel corner, but again, you're not going to have to pay much to upgrade.
PFF graded him out as 114th out of 118 players at his position. It's not just us that don't like him. You can go.
All right, the next one, I'm going to butcher this maybe, but Al-Qaeddine Muhammad.
Oh, good job.
I think that's a good job. He had a couple moments this year. I'd keep him. Stay. Yeah.
You're talking about some depth guys here that I think do provide good depth, and he can come in and give a guy a breather for a couple of plays. You can rotate him in, and I think he's a guy, when you start talking about having to pay him, you're paying him for what, 10 to 12 plays per game, max? And so that's how you've got to value him. But he can come in those 10 to 12 plays, you're not going to get a huge drop-off.
Last one, Teddy Bridgewater.
This is interesting. And I think that this opens up the rabbit hole to go down for Hendon Hooker, the QB2, and what happens if Goff gets hurt. I don't even want to talk about if Goff gets hurt, but I think you bring him back because I don't think Hendon Hooker is developing into the guy that they thought he would be. And Bridgewater's not old. Like, I know he stepped away, but what is he, 32? He is a guy that could still be serviceable like he was in that game.
I think it's a lower ceiling with him as the backup, right?
It's a lower ceiling, but this is some of the stuff that I hate during the draft. lower ceiling but higher floor. He is he's a guy that is he's safe. That's a great way to put it. I think so, he's safe.
What's going on with Brunell? Is he staying?
I don't think we know yet.
So he could be Bridgewater could be the quarterback coach.
Very well could be. Well,
I was going to say that. I go, he's already been into coaching, and I think that's the direction he wants to go. I think you still have to give Hendon Hooker a shot to be the backup quarterback. This was a go for me, but he could stay on the coaching staff.
Can I throw something else at you? And you didn't get to prepare, so it's a little unfair.
It's fine.
Who on this roster is most likely going to be the most surprising departure? And it can be on this list or it could be somebody else.
Like a cut candidate, you're saying?
Yeah, just... Sorry. I shouldn't have done that to you. Yeah, I will not hold this to you.
Oh, boy. I'm trying to look at this. I think...
All right, you don't have to answer.
Zadarius?
Yeah. Maybe.
There's a roster bonus. They may have to rework that. They may just want to pivot somewhere else. I don't know. You're not holding me to it, but there's a name that's out of left field that maybe could surprise people if he wasn't back. Zeitler would be the other one, but I don't know how surprising it is given he's getting older. And even Holmes kind of, in his press conference, Brad Holmes acknowledged, hey, you know, as you get older, there are some considerations there.
I think the big surprise might be Derek Barnes. I think there is somebody out there that might decide that he is worth more than the Lions are willing to pay him.
Could see that. At Stay or Go, Lions Free Agents, 97.1. Michigan's fight with the NCAA drags on. We'll have an update in the 7 o'clock hour. Michigan will fight those allegations made by the NCAA in the Connor Stallions saga. I'm sure everybody's excited to rehash that story, but there is new information. So 7:35, we will get into all of that. Mm-hmm. John, the Pistons have a decision to make a week from tomorrow. Are they buyers? Are they sellers? Do they stand pat? Pistons have surprised people this year, fighting up to a 6 seed at one point. They're in the thick of the playoffs in terms of like seeding. What do you think they're going to do here?
I think this is a great opportunity for, I mean, honestly, they can't really go wrong. They have positioned themselves in such a great way. If they say, you know what, hey, we had a plan coming into the season, and even though we've played better, and I'm making this up. I don't know that this was their plan, but hey, we want to get these guys. We're going to get Beasley on a one-year deal. We're going to get these guys that if we can play well enough to be a fringe playoff team, you know, the 10 spot of the play-in tournament, or we're going to be just outside, we can sell these guys off. We could take on other contracts. We could continue to position ourselves for next year or 2 years down the road. I mean, things change. And they're in a position where they could actually be top six and not in the play-in tournament, but actually have a playoff position. And now all of a sudden... Hey, I don't know that they go out and they don't have that all-in move, that all-in mentality, because even though they be a playoff team, I don't think they're a NBA championship or even conference finals team, but they could use this opportunity to not only improve themselves this year, but improve themselves for the next couple of years. If they're able to acquire someone that's not going to break the bank, they're still going to have plenty of money to spend in the offseason.
Yeah, just so we're all clear on where the Pistons are at. Currently the 8th seed right now, but this is much better than we anticipated. I thought the belief was you could flip Beasley and Hardaway and even Tobias, depending on how well he had played. This was just kind of a signed to be traded kind of deal. Malik Beasley has been super open. He had the quotes about talking to Trajan Langdon and understanding it's a business. If a contender swoops in with an offer too good, they're going to trade him. But I'd like to keep Malik Beasley. Like, that's how much I think things have changed. He is one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA. I think he is one of those people who helps Cade develop into a star by spacing the floor. Malik Beasley is sixth in the NBA in three-pointers made per game. And of the guys who make more than him, only one makes them at a higher clip. Like, he's a 40% three-point shooter. He has helped Cade space the floor. It's an investment in Cade as much as it is in winning right now. I'd absolutely like to keep him. I'd like to bolt him down. I'd like to extend him. You can't do it in season, but I'd like to have
him. I agree. But you can have all those conversations now. And it feels like those conversations are going. It sounds like those conversations are going on because Malik Beasley was quoted as me and Trajan been talking a lot. All right. Okay, that's great. And here's what I love about it is, one, it sounds like he likes it here. He's found a team, and whether it's teammates, it's a coaching staff that he feels comfortable with. He's obviously having success, and it sounds like he would like to stay. But you've got to be completely honest with guys. And it's a rare occasion that it happens in professional sports. And if Trajan Langdon is starting his time as general manager with conversations with players and with agents of, we like you here, we know what you've been able to do, we know what you bring, and then follow that with, it's a business. And this is what Malik Beasley had said. He also told me, referring to Trajan Langdon, it's a business. If a championship team comes with a crazy deal, the business is the business. And when you bring up the stats that you just brought up, he is going to be sought after for a team that needs a three-point shooter that is reliable in a championship run. And if they're willing to give, if they're willing to come with a crazy deal, then the easy answer is you take the crazy deal, because you're not a championship team this year. Unless, I mean, I don't even know what type of crazy world that we're living in where we could say, I know it's sports, but in a 7-game series or in a playoff run, I just don't see it as a possibility.
The Pistons are most likely going to be eliminated in the first true round of the NBA playoffs. Assuming they avoid the play-in or get through the play-in, they're likely to be eliminated in the very first round.
Do you
round.
Think we get the first postseason victory in what, a decade? I mean,
yes, that'd be awesome. Especially if they hold at the deadline. Buy, sell, or hold. If they hold, I think it's in play. The buy conversation's fascinating because it's not a conversation I think people were ready for. And, John, they're not going to trade for a true superstar next to Cade. I just don't see that.
No.
Some of this is their first-round pick is still tied up and technically owed to Minnesota. You want to give that up this year because it means you're winning, and two, then you don't have this kind of hanging over your head. So the deals they'd have to make would have to be smaller deals. But they could still buy. I've seen people say, why not CJ McCollum? Get a true number two ball handler for Cade. He's expensive, but it's a two-year commitment. New Orleans might just want to get out from under that deal, and Detroit can absorb it. And I think even with Ivy back next year, those three could form, you know, a decent backcourt where you always have one or two ball handlers on the floor at a time. There are buy moves. That's kind of the camp I'm in. I'm sick of the selling. I want to see them either hold or slight buy to fight for the six, and more than fight for the six, fight to improve, to provide a foundation. You're hitting Cade with a max. He's on the ascent. It's time to start putting really good basketball players around him, not jettisoning them out. If someone offers you, I don't know, what's a Godfather offer? If someone's offering me a late first for Beasley, I'm not exactly dying to do
that's
that.
That's not a crazy deal.
I'm keeping him, unless someone's offering me like a lottery first, and no one's doing that. So I'm keeping Malik Beasley.
Well, and every sport has its, you know, uniqueness. And when you're talking about like the fact that you can't extend Beasley before the season's over. So when the season is over, you're quote-unquote going to be in a bidding war with everybody else that might want his services. On the flip side, you can have a lot of those conversations right now. You might not be able to ink a deal, but you can have some of those conversations. You just don't want to have an asset that at the end of the year, somebody just offers more, he walks, and then you're left with nothing.
So, all right, we don't spend a ton of time on the Pistons, but they have exceeded expectations. Mm-hmm. They've earned this conversation. Buy, sell, or hold. Trade deadline is a week from tomorrow. What do you guys want the Pistons to do? What do you expect Trajan Langdon to do? His chance to put his stamp on this team and this franchise. It's 97.1.